Hello, respected viewers. Well, I just missed it, but yesterday was the birthday of Ian Fleming, best known for being author of the James Bond series of novels. So he was born in 1908, so time to celebrate Ian Fleming. I've only read a few of them, including like Dr. No. Bizarrely, I read them on the plane back from Brazil over 20 years ago. And then I recognised some of the episodes there from the scenes in the film, such as the chin grows. I better not say what they are. And so forth. So he's a fascinating figure, very debonair. He lived a life of derring do. Quite apart from his literary afterlife, he was someone who was a real bon viveur, creative, a Renaissance man of attainments. Victor Ludis at Eton, or was it twice, as in winner of the games like athletics. I don't know which particular events. Was it like the hurdles or the 75-yard dash, whatever they called it in those days. So, he's born in Mayfair, one of the most she areas of London, into a very wealthy family because they're related to Robert Fleming and Co., that highly successful bank. So he was Scots. They're born in South Britain. And his father was an MP for Henley, but was killed in the First World War when Ian Fleming was nine. And he had and a brother, Peter Fleming. I can't remember if he was older or younger. And indeed, there's the Peter Fleming Owl at Eton, awarded for the best contribution to Eton College Chronicle, as in the school newspaper. Named in honour of Peter Fleming. He's not quite so well known. He also had Amaryllis, his half-sister. So he wasn't that academic at Eton. And then he wanted to go into the diplomatic service, so had to bone up on French and German when he left school in the mid-1920s. But then he somehow didn't quite make it into the diplomatic service. But his knowledge of languages and his cosmopolitanism stood him in good stead. And then I can't remember what he did in the 1930s, but he was in naval intelligence in the Second World War. And that's why Bond is Commander Bond of Naval Intelligence, because the Royal Navy was considered a bit by poshos because it was a bit too hands-on being a tar. Because as an army officer, particularly in the Brigade of Guards, they were hanging around London because they were the household division to guard the royal family in London. They could live their social lives or politic or whatever, and only went abroad to war in extremis. So helped if you had a private income, and otherwise the army, whereas the Navy, they were away on service a lot of the time. You go back to the 18th century, they were fighting there constantly pirates if it wasn't a war against another country. So he was also a real womanizer. He knew a lot about secret intelligence from his time in the Royal Navy, being on the Joint Intelligence Committee and so on. And then spy novels have been around, I suppose, since John Buchan, who died in 1940 of natural causes in Canada as Governor General. He was then the Marquess of Tweedsmore. So then when he got out, that's when he began publishing his novels. He'd been in the commandos, the Royal Naval Commandos, in the Second World War. They wanted to copy what Otto Skorzeny was doing for the Germans. But I think he never actually saw action. But that was he's very willing to fight. So then he was demobilized just before the war ended. So he married a young widow during the war and so on. But he was having affairs with others and things like that. And I think he sired a child by somebody else's wife and stuff like that. So he certainly wasn't terribly moralistic. Publishing Casino Royale, and that was his world, the world of a boulevardier. He was always immaculately turned out with pristine hair, with smoking a cigarette with a cigarette holder. I remember one line about James Bond smoking his 70th cigarette for the day. There was someone called a Hoagy Carmichael, and he based Bond's looks on that, of having a rather long but not mournful face, clean features, symmetrical features, a low hairline, always flawlessly presented, and so on. And then so names like Drax, from people he'd known at school, with the ridiculous surname Plunkett, Earn Earl Drax. Scaramanga was another particular for school. Blofeld was someone he knew from a gentleman's club in London. That doesn't mean a strip bar. I can't think. Goldfinger, there really was Erno Goldfinger in London, the architect. You can see one of the house he designed. It's very mid-20th century, just off Hampstead Heath, and so on. But what comes through in his novels in the 1950s is the Cold War, is the dissolution of the British Empire, is rivalry with the United States, is some anti-Semitism and things like that, a bit of xenophobia. But so he published books like Live and Let Die, Moonraker, Diamonds Are Forever, From Russia With Love, and so on. And so these are real page turners and thrillers, and they're quite dark. There's some cruelty in the novels. There's some moral ambiguity. Bond is a bit like he was, only better. You know, he was sort of Fleming on steroids, hard drinking, chain smoking, bed hopping, libertine, a hard man, ruthless when he needs to be, and so on. Rather heartless. There's a certain vacuity to him. So Bond's backstory, hasn't he been to like Glenarmond and then the University of Geneva and things like that? And he saw his parents dying in a climbing accident. And I remember in the 90s reading some sort of psychological profile of Bond and saying he'd be deeply messed up and he can't follow, have lasting relationships with women and stuff like that. So Fleming's alcoholism and his tobacco consumption caught up with him, which he died at 53 of a heart attack, and the ambulance was summoned to get him. And as only an Etonian could, in the ambulance on the way to hospital, he apologized for having troubled the crew and promptly died. So then he's buried in Severnhampton, Wiltshire. I'm not quite sure why. He used to go to Jamaica quite a lot and stay in a house called Goldeneye, hence the novel came along. And he was a good friend of Kingsley Amis, the novelist who wrote One Fat Englishman and so on. So Fleming's son, he committed suicide at 23 from taking too much drugs. Fleming was not into drugs himself. So he made an extraordinary contribution to world literature, and he was just getting rich towards the end. I think the first film had come out before he died. And remember, he's writing at the time when the United Kingdom is only just emerging from the losses of the Second World War, 25% of the national wealth gone, rationing has been phased out, only completely phased out in 1958 when coal mining, thanks a lot miners, was the last one to be taken off that. He was very aware of the enemy within. He thought trade unionists were often commies. So it's not quite a morality play. And obviously he thinks the British cause, which I mean thinks as right-wingery, is the good one, but they're willing to get their hands dirty, certainly. And people have written up more things in the style of James Bond. Yeah, he also wrote other things which were not James Bond, like Thrilling Cities or even Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which became a sort of fairly popular family film in the mid-60s. So that was Ian Fleming. To think that he wasn't so regarded as cerebral. But yeah, these got pace, these novels, they've got strongly drawn characters, and in some ways, some bits I wanted to quote are kind of quite unprintable, would not be amenable to feminists and stuff like that. So he was a hard man. Right, anyway, thank you for watching my channel, and I warmly recommend you dip into a Bond novel. You shan't regret it.